Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father God, we just thank you for all the VFN family and the VFN Radio audience is with us this morning. We're just having a amazing time on around the world, actually. VFN Radio is just really encouraging to hear all your feedback. We thank you for all the emails. We thank you for the textings that are coming in. We want to encourage you. We just started, you know, a Facebook page for all of you and for everybody who feels, you know, connected in that particular area at facebook.com/VFNTV. And you can follow us on Twitter at VFNTV1, VFNTV1, the number one. And we're going to figure all this social media things out, and we're going to stay as close as we can to you to be able to answer your questions. We want to let you know that, you know, you're going to start seeing really soon the what's going to be coming up that day, that week. We'll be able to send you that in your through Facebook or Twitter, and the highlights of that week. And there's so many wonderful things that happen. We just want to stay, you know, connected. You know, it's the unity. Psalms 133 says, when we stay together, when we stick together, when we, you know, it's unity that pleases the Lord. He says, it's like dew on Mount Hermon, you know, coming down. And it's like oil on Aaron's beard, coming from his beard to his skirt. And it's just a place of pleasure to God, you know, and us walking together right there. You know what? You know, the world's been speaking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the church seems to be speaking about 45 minutes, maybe, you know, a couple, if you're really serious, maybe, you know, 90 minutes there in that week. But we need the voice continually of the Lord over us, washing over us, right?
Amen, amen, we sure do.
Oh, my goodness. I just knowing, you know, VFN Radio, you know, the topics that we're covering, God's perspective, you know, it's just so encouraging to me to not only look at, you know, the threats of the adversary and the tells of what would be gloom and doom to somebody who didn't know God, but then to shine God's illuminating word over it to be able to see, oh my goodness, this is nothing. You know, what are these giants in our sight, right?
That's right, that's right.
Oh my goodness. So I just want to encourage, you know, we're here always to educate, you know, to educate you and ourselves and what's happening in the world. And we also here to illuminate, you know, the light of God's word to be able to shine it on that which you get educated about, the truth and what's happening in our life. And God's light, you know, is very, very, it just shines in darkness, and we deal with some stuff. Maybe the darkness might not comprehend it, but I know that those who walk in the light do. And not only that, that we seek to inspire you, you know, that now that you know about it, now that you, it's God's perspective is over it. Now we want to inspire you and realize you've been called for the season. You know what I'm saying? You've been called. You know, so many people are looking for somebody else to be what God's called you to be. You know, you've got to rise up to the occasion. Think about this. That just think about this. Maybe the world is waiting on you to be what God's called you to be. Why not just be yourself and find out? Either way, God's created you and to do what he's predestined you to do. And if they don't accept that, it's their loss. But you are faithful to invest the gift that God has given you. And finally, you know, our hope is to activate you. You know, we're called as believers to advance the kingdom of God in the hearts of man. You know, Jesus's kingdom is not of this world. The kingdoms of this world are the actually adversaries' kingdoms. You know, Jesus was in the desert being tempted, and Satan was tempting him. And this is what he said to Jesus. He said, listen, if you bow down and worship me, these kingdoms of this world have been given to me, and I'll give them to you. Jesus didn't say you're a liar, or that's not accurate. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, we're told where Jesus is saying, I see you down there where Satan has his throne, you know? And so understanding that, I say, my goodness, you know, we kind of quit trying to build God's physical kingdom here, because you get worn out thinking you can do it the political party, you can do it through conservative values. It's like, come on, you know, every one of us needs Jesus. And we want conservative values, don't get me wrong. But the thing is, if God's not behind that, if your motives are not, you know, the reason why you want that to happen, it's just gonna fail. But with God, all things are possible. So by focusing on God and his word and abiding with him, you know, you can change men's hearts. And when men's hearts are changed, whether they are senators or congressmen or whether they're a neighbor or whether it's somebody in your family, whatever they're doing, whether they own a business or they're an employee or they're a political leader, whoever they are, they'll just automatically, God will speak through them and begin to change that. So it's actually change comes from the inside out. You know, the Pharisees were thinking about the outside in, weren't they?
Right, yeah.
And Jesus called them whitewashed
tombs.
Oh my goodness, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Whitewashed tombs. I mean, they were pretty on the outside.
Right.
And it could be so often, you know, we're trying to change people on the outside. You know what I'm saying? And we just need to realize that it's the heart. You know, it all starts with the heart. And so if you want your leaders, you want godly leaders, you know, find out if their heart is after God.
Right.
You know? Find out, talk to them. And so I encourage, you know, we got a season coming up where we get to choose leaders for our country. We're the ones that choose them in America. It's not like, you know, a particular king that actually just comes in because here, or queen, because they're actually like, they're celebrating the queen right now, I think 60 years of her reign.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And over in Great Britain. And, you know, she's there because of her lineage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So people can't necessarily vote the queen out, even though they're voting all around her.
Right.
But it's different in America. And America says it's a government by the people and for the people. And so we really are the ones that issue the edict. I remember, you know, Lou Engle talking about at some particular, the end time conferences are, man, yeah, that's right. They're ums. We have a one thing conference at the end of every year. And
that was the one I was thinking.
Is that what you're thinking of?
That ain't the one you're looking for, right?
Yeah, that's one.
Oh,
one
that
thing.
Was?
Yeah, it was one thing. It could have been the two thing conference, but I'm pretty sure it's the one thing conference. And, you know, we love the one thing conference because no matter what happens that year, we always end it on the one thing conference. And then, and whatever's going to happen the year after that, you know, after that, because the one thing conference is the last couple of days of the year, like four days. Mm-hmm. And so we want to, we say, you know what? It's all about the one thing, Jesus Christ. You know, no matter what successes or what failures we've had, no matter how worn out we are because we left everything on the court that year, you know, we just come back and just say, here we are, Jesus. I hope it's pleasing to you. It's all about you, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
It's all about you. All About You is just not a song, is it?
No, it's not.
It's not. The one thing. One thing I do. One thing I seek is to be in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, I want to say this morning, tomorrow on VFN Radio, we got a wonderful, exciting interview with Steve Kolaszewski. He's a pastor in VFN. He is going to be sharing his experience and how God led him on a journey to speaking to him and training him up and launching him out to be able to plant a church in Pittsburgh, VFN Pittsburgh. And it's very exciting. And we're going to have him on the show tomorrow. And he's going to be sharing with us. And your heart's going to be encouraged. You know, I encourage you that if you're feeling, you know, that you want to know what it's like to be called and how to walk through the processes and how God will actually send you out to be able to plant and work with you and confirm his word, listen up. Maybe you have somebody else that you know that's being called and they're struggling, they're not sure, and they're turning to religion instead of relationship. You know, I encourage you, you know, listen to Steve Kolaszewski tomorrow on VFN Radio because you're going to be greatly encouraged. You know, he's a young man in the Lord, you know, former Marine, loves Jesus. He's just wonderful to be around, but God has given him a heart for Pittsburgh, for the people of Pittsburgh. And you're going to get to hear all these awesome things that happen, how he got, things just don't just happen.
No, they don't.
God is waiting for somebody who actually believes him and who actually will specifically believe him for what he's going to do. You know, Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision, make it plain so that other people can run with it, you know.
Right.
You know, E.B. Hill says, a person that calls himself a leader but ain't got nobody following, it's just merely taking a walk, right?
Right, right.
You know, you have to, it's not that what you're doing is not God for you and for others, but the very fact is that, you know, you want to be able to articulate it in a way that other people can understand it, you know, and run with it. Because this is always about the next generation. It's about, you know, living well in our generation and passing it on to the next generation. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that tomorrow on VFN Radio, you'll be hearing Steve Kolaszewski from the beginning to the end of a of being trained up and launched out and all these things, how God just provided in very specific details how that actually took place. And you'll be very encouraged by that on tomorrow's program. We'll be right back. You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know, but the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God. That know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in the Lord and all this wonderful stuff. And it's just fun. You know, you look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there to, the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know, and Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hireling. But I have empathy, though, for a leader of a traditional situation because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to vfnfamily.org and find out more about it. Wow, there's just nothing like being the family of God. You'll find out that you know, everybody is seeking what God's designed us to have, which is family. And they're even willing to settle for pseudo-family. It's amazing how people have a dream in their head, and they're going to have this family because they're thinking if they put all these pieces together, then they're going to have this thing you're supposed to have. And of course, then they come to counseling and going, it's not happening like the dreams that it was going to happen. People are not lining up like my fantasy. And it's like, well, you know, it's only in God, you know, is there family. I mean, and real family. He says, who is my family? Right? Who is my mother? Who is my brother?
Right.
And that God has designed it, you know, family as it is. And so, well, this morning, you know, we're going to have our wisdom moment. It's the seventh of the month, and we are going to look at Proverbs chapter 7 this morning. And, you know, and to kind of set it up this morning, just to think about it, that the, you know, Solomon is talking about the wisdom, and just, you know, he's one of the wisest men outside of Jesus that was walking on the face of the earth. But he talks about that he was looking out of his window, and he saw through the lattice work, he saw a situation. And in the situation he saw, you know, a young man who lacked any judgment. I don't know if you've ever seen a young man that lacked judgment, but you're just kind of squinching like, oh my goodness, it's going to be bad, you know. And we always joke around about, they say that the frontal lobe of the brain, it's not fully developed until 25. That's what scientists say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously you can measure if it's there or not, but it's you know, and that's where the consequences of for decision making mm-hmm. and all that's there. You know, but
right.
I mean, sometimes it could be. You know, I remember when the sheriff of where we are was in a particular meeting, and he was talking to some of the leaders that were, or not leaders, just business people that was there, and. He asked, everybody's probably pretty much in their, you know, young, like 50s, 60s. And he asked the question, you know, he said, first of all, he said if sin was needles, he'd be like a porcupine. And then he goes into saying that, do you know how long it takes for the frontal lobe of the brain to develop? Remember that?
Yeah.
And he paused for way too long, you know, because these things automatically normally come up anyway inside of me, but I have time to suppress them, this humor thing, and pull it down before it happens. But he waited so long, you know, I had to say, 60? And everybody in that room just laughed us up for the sheriff. And so, but, you know, the thing about it is we can't blame it. We can't blame it on our brain development, because it has to do with our heart, right?
Right.
I mean, a kid knows. I mean, he knows with no frontal lobe. You know, if you know, what I'm saying, I'm not talking like I know something like I'm a neuroscientist here and I've studied the brain or anything like that. I meant, but I know this. He knows getting them cookies is wrong. Oh, he knows it. That's why he looks over his shoulder before he sticks them in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and science tries to explain away what God says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them, right?
That's right.
And so in understanding that he's looking out the window. Solomon's looking out the window. Obviously, you know, it wasn't an air-conditioned place, you know, and he's looking out the lattice work.
Right.
And as he's noticing this young man has no judgment. Which means he don't know what right or wrong is. You know what I'm saying? And so he's going down by this lady's house. And I can see Solomon going, oh, he don't have a clue about this woman. You know what I'm saying? He don't have a clue about this particular woman. Now, Solomon knew. And he's thinking, oh, he's walking in her direction.
Oh, no.
I know. He's like, oh, no. Stay away. Oh, and this is what's happening. This is the word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about Proverbs chapter 7, you know, getting the wisdom of God. This is our wisdom moment. And it's seventh of the month. That's when we're doing it. And I encourage you to do the same thing. And so Solomon, you know, is just like, because he's got a ton of wisdom. He's got awesome ability to judge. And he's looking and he's going like, oh, no, please. Oh, no. And he's walking right to that particular street corner, you know. And he's going, I know that woman's husband done gone already out of town. You know, he done took a whole bag of money, so he's going to be gone for a long time. That loose woman's going to be out in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. What he said?
That's what he said.
And so, you know, kind of summarizing, you can read it yourself. You might be thinking right now, no way. Is that what it said? That's exactly what
it
says.
That's exactly what it says.
We need to know this because, you know, sometimes, you know, we're just naive in thinking that, you know, everybody has pure motives and, you know, they're not really trying to kill you. Just that was an accidental stabbing, you know, right?
Right.
That wasn't the devil. And so, and everybody's just not innocent, you know, in the context of their motives. I mean, and this particular woman was waiting for him, this young man, it appeared, mm-hmm. to be able to come her way. You know, it makes you think of a trap, you know? And so in this... Proverbs 7, We're reading from 7:21 this morning. He says, with persuasive words, she led him astray. Isn't that amazing that, today we don't give as much credence to what past generations did, was the ability to give a good speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ability to persuade somebody and to talk to somebody and just, being our dialect, we have to work really hard from where we're from. But the, and so many people get into power over people's life and they mislead them. They lead them astray because they have the ability to persuade them, in the wrong direction. And so it says right here, with persuasive words, she led him astray. I mean, if I encourage you, if you ever want to do a word study in the Word of God, study the word led astray. You'll be really surprised how many people were led astray in something similar to this. It goes on and says, she seduced him with her smooth talk,
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me because, some people want to be loved. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to be loved. I mean, you want to be loved and you want a good experience with people and, but still you got to be wise, and he wasn't wise and he had no judgment, that just because somebody's talking to you in a way that you would want them to talk to you,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean that they have the right motives and that she wants to be your wife. He didn't really realize that. Maybe he did. I don't know. But this is another man's wife.
Right.
Right. And then he says, all at once, just suddenly, mm-hmm. should have never talked to her in the first place. Never should have went by her house. You should have never pulled that website up in the first place. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. He says, all at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. Mm. I mean, that's brutal, because when you think about a slaughter, we're so far away from what it takes to be able to put the hamburger between the buns that we don't realize that there was a cow walking around a field one day and they killed the cow.
Yeah.
They skinned him, gutted him. They cut him up,
mm-hmm.
put parts of him through a grinder, packaged it up, sent it to that Burger King or your McDonald's.
Right.
Less to McDonald's. I don't think there's much meat on McDonald's. And then they cook it up and put it between your burger.
Mm-hmm.
So if back up a little bit and picture the cattle or the ox in the field going that way.
Right.
And that's what she's saying. She's saying it, all at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierced his liver.
Mm.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You think about Samson, Samson kept on hanging around something he shouldn't have hung around.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, one particular day, when he thought, well, nothing happened last time that I was with her. Nothing happened last time that I was with her.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like an ox going to the slaughter and like an arrow piercing his liver, right?
Right.
My goodness. And he goes on and says, and little knowing that it would cost him his life.
Mm.
Isn't that something?
Mm-mm.
Isn't that something? I want to encourage you this morning. Wisdom is that, listen up, get judgment, understand the reason why we're talking about wisdom continually on VFN Radio is because we don't want your liver pierced and we don't want you, being led like an ox to the slaughter, because there are people, believe it or not, I know this is shocking. It was shocking to me that their motives are not necessarily pure. They really have your demise in mind. They really want to do away with you.
Yeah.
Really? Wow, my goodness. And so, but what it is, they're held captive by the adversary to do his will. And that's what's really going on. And we're to love those who pierce us. Anyway, so then he says, now then, my son, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways. So it's your heart, right? Or stray into her paths. In other words, stay away from her place. Stay away from her place. Stay away from his place. Stay away from all the seducing things that the enemy's doing through media and the websites and internet and all this type of stuff. And because it's gonna overtake you. I remember listening to there was a divorce going on, and one particular man was divorcing his wife, and she was behind one podium and he was behind the other, and his daughter was behind the mother. And he said, I don't mind getting a divorce from my wife. She can have everything. She can have everything except my computer. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you have been led to the slaughter like an ox. You have been snared by a trap. Your liver has been pierced. And little do you know it, it's going to cost you your life. And you got to understand, that's what happens. It's persuasive words. You know, if all of a sudden, if you don't have things like Be Secure on your internet that will stop things from popping up in your face, that you'll be innocently moving along, all those things will just pop up. And so it will try to allure you and entice you because Satan has a plan to destroy you. Mm-hmm. And so just put something up to block it.
Right.
You know, bring some accountability in your life. See, listen, if you ever see me wandering by her house, slap me upside my head.
Right. Come get me quick.
You know, I'm just going to go down and help her. Yeah, right. You're going to help her, all right. And then he says, many are the victims she has brought down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know people. And I think you know people too. But they, do you know people?
A couple.
I know people. But I just thought, oh my gosh, how many people have you brought down? Mm-hmm. At what point will you stop taking these men down? You know, right. And in some cases, sometimes it's taking women down as well. Mm-hmm. At what point are you going to stop? Mm-hmm. Does it not cross your mind that something you have a trail of dead men behind you? You know?
Right.
That their livers are pierced, you use them. I'll never forget that we were in a gathering, and a particular man was just in love with God. I mean, God had reached out to him. He had come to me and just was hungry for God, and it was just weeping in God's presence, just renewed, a fresh wind blowing over him. And there was somebody that was new that had come into the gathering, and when she saw him, she said to herself, "He's mine." I mean, get out of Dodge. Are you serious? This man has found God. Yeah. He's weeping in the presence of God. And what is on you that points at somebody like that and says, "He's mine"? It's the devil on you. Yeah. You got to get free from that. That is a wrong mindset. And little do you know, before you know it, she took him out. Yep. She totally took him out and ended up having him actually move into her home.
Yeah.
And it was over at that point.
Yep.
It's just a sad thing, isn't it?
Sure was.
I don't think, you know, just because he is a small physical person or she's a small physical person, that they can't do big physical damage. That understand this, that it's not about size. It's about spirits. It's about what is on that person. What is that? What's there? And what he's saying here, you know, Ephesians 6:12 lets us know that, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And so it's a seducing spirit, you know, to be able to take you down. And when you think about what's really going on and what's happening today, when we talk about, you know, some of the statistics that are even happening, you know, some people are getting seduced by, you know, women and men like this, but some people are being seduced by images of men and women like this, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
I mean, you look at Romans chapter 1, you know, talking about it, in Romans chapter 1, he talks about the very same thing that we're talking about, and this is what happens, so it's not just Old Testament type, it's New Testament, and so there's three phases of a nation being turned over to, you know, different levels of judgment coming to a nation, and the purpose of God's judgment is to bring things back in alignment. Again, you can find out more is America Under Judgment at VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app on your phone. But he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." And that's what happened to this young man. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. Wow. Made to look like mortal man. Think about it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matthew 6:22 lets us know that, you know, whatever comes into your eye, your body is made up of it. And so, you know, you may be all alone and being led astray by images. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
And God will respond to that, just like he responded to this young man as going through the processes. And he said, well, if that does go on, he says, therefore, because remember, it leads to death is what Proverbs lets us know. It leads to death. And so he goes on and says, because of this, because now you're exchanging the glory of God for images made to look like man, he says in verse 24, therefore, God gave them over to sinful desires of their own hearts, to sexual impurity, and to the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than God. And so what happens is, just like this progressive journey of this young man that Solomon was watching, he says, I've seen and I've observed, there was a progression of he's heading that way, you know, then he gets enticed, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't know, he obviously is not soaking in Proverbs every day and getting wisdom because he didn't have judgment and wisdom of the Word of God in the context of that. And he all of a sudden, suddenly he was led like an ox to the slaughter. And that's what happens even today. You see, you know, we need men and women of God to rise up and say, listen, this is a trap. You know, this is a trap. You got to shake yourself, you know, and say, you know, this, I've got to turn away from these things. I cannot be just like this young man who had no judgment, because the end of it is death.
Right.
The end of it is death. Yeah. You know, and what's happening today is quite often is we don't have that wisdom or that judgment. Say, this is not good. You know, and so I encourage you, if you haven't, get somebody in your life. You know, everybody needs a Paul. Everybody needs a Barnabas and a Timothy. You know, somebody who's speaking into your life, somebody's life who you're speaking into, and an encourager. And you need those people in your life, and it can be several people. But you need them to be able to also watch over you and somebody, you know, let me know if I go down that road again, right?
Right.
Let me know. It's like, well, she's texting me. So, you know, and you think about it, you can't, there's so many forms of communication today. It's like, you know, somebody says, I broke that relationship off 10 years ago. And they say, but she just friended me, or he just friended me on Facebook, you know, unfriend them. I had a neighbor, we had a neighborhood watch type meeting, and he's explaining to me about Facebook, and he looks at me and he just says, Greg, sometimes you have to unfriend people, you know?
Right.
You think, well, will they know if you unfriend them? You know, will they feel rejection? What is it? You know, sometimes, you know, this young man should have unfriended that woman.
Yeah.
That's what you just got to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know that they have a trail of destruction behind them, and you can tell by the words of their mouth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, a man's life is a trail of destruction because of what the word just comes out of his mouth, James chapter 3. Then you can just say, you know what? I'm going to unfriend you. I'm not going to have this particular conversation again. If I have to, I'm going to change my form of communication.
Yeah.
So, because I don't want you talking into my ear anymore, because if I let you talk into my ear, since the words you speak are spirit,
right,
then it's going to influence me. And then think about this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we're talking wisdom this morning, and he's the Son of God. He's doing everything the Father tells him to do. Everything he sees the Father do, he's doing it. And all of a sudden, it's about time for him to go to Jerusalem, to flip the switch to eternity, to take our place on the cross, to pay for our sins, to walk that walk to the cross. And so he explains it to his disciples. He said, okay, now it's time for this. And Peter's mouth gets overtaken by the adversary. He doesn't say anything mean, but he says something that could have led Jesus astray. He looks at Jesus. I guess he looks at him. I mean, you know, I don't know. I know he didn't text him. And he said, don't go to Jerusalem. That seems innocent, don't it?
Yeah.
But the Jerusalem was God's plan for him. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. Now listen, that's Jesus, man, you know.
Right.
Listen to me, man. That's Jesus that says, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. You can't just have anybody speaking into your ear.
That's right.
I mean, if Jesus was almost tempted not to obey the Father, and he did obey the Father, always. I mean, how are you going to hold up when you're just letting anybody, well, they're a relative of mine. Well, they're not a good relative. And besides, Jesus left his mother and his brother outside while he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? You know, if the enemy's got their mouth set on fire to destroy you, you got to get away from that.
Right.
You know, can you imagine the therapy that would take? You look at somebody, their mouth's being used. Get behind me, Satan. I was like, I think he called me Satan. I'm not
right,
sure.
Right.
No, no, no. The words I speak are spirit, he says. And so I want to encourage you this morning that you want to be able to get wisdom. You want to be able to, there's conscious, you need to do things that specifically keep you away from those paths. And because today things are so virtual, you know, the images are coming in left and right. The chat rooms, you know, they say they're out there everywhere where people are chatting with people. You know, some of the things that is are saying just yesterday, that 1/3 of divorce paperwork has the word Facebook in it, you know. And Facebook, you know, we're on Facebook, but we're not on there to be able to, you know, have relationships like this guy did going down the street. Right. I mean, we're there just to be able to just stay in touch and kind of share what's happening with VFN Radio, VFN TV, give people hope, you know what I'm saying? And it's kind of good to see a couple of people every now and then, but it's not, you know, you have good motives, but everybody on there don't have good motives. That's you know, right. I always call it Google.jez, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like some people are actually nosing through people's lives and, you know, finding stuff out. When you talk to them, they're talking like they know this person and they don't know nothing about that person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They just study their data. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Freaky. Anyway, so, and so, you know, that's probably why, you know, for a season that we were off so that God can kind of give us the right perspective of that. And so, understanding that, then we have to be wise. You have to make conscious decisions. So they say 1/3 of divorce papers has the word Facebook in it. 1/3.
A lot.
Yeah, because of those seducing things that begin to happen of old relationships or new relationships and all that type of thing. And a lot more statistics than that are going on. And so we have to be wise, you know, be as wise as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove. Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves.
Right.
So it's not wrong to be out, but it's definitely wrong not to understand, like this young man didn't, that you're going out amongst wolves. You know what I'm saying? But there are sheep out there too, you know? And so I just want to encourage you that kind of wisdom this morning, that it's very, very important to make conscious efforts to be able to stay away from the paths that lead you astray. We'll be right back in just a moment. You know, I just want to say this before we go in this first hour. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that
God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the Data Radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer, and you ask them, you know, hey, what's God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Is God speaking to me?
Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word. Mm-hmm. You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice, and you want to know God in an intimate way, and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he cares
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kaliszewski with us on the VFN radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via VFN radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you right now, if you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. Oh, yeah. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just,
isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
you know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class.
You
know, it's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go, like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be, feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org, and you can find out more.
Wow, we just love having Steve in, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just want to say, in the extra hour that we have coming up today, we are going to be talking about 90 Minutes in Heaven. Oh, wow. 90 Minutes in Heaven. It was so impacting that it just changed his life, and it's going to be very encouraging to you. We're going to briefly talk about it. You know, it's Don Piper, and it's just wow. Listen, it's a great reward, you know, and we'll talk about that in the extra hour. But also, we're going to be talking about, you know, our Nazareth. You know that Jesus had a Nazareth, and it was very important how we acknowledge it, understand it, respond appropriately to it, and how to what we do next. And so many people die in Nazareth, and God didn't call you to die in Nazareth. He called you to do something in Nazareth. But you're going to be really encouraged with that. So we're going to be talking about 90 Minutes in Heaven and talking about, you know, your Nazareth. But right now, we're going to talk about, you know, God's news behind the news, and we're going to talk about, you know, voting. You know, we're not going to tell you, obviously, you know, who to vote for. It's for you to be able, as an American citizen, to educate yourself and find out who that is. We always say, though, spend 90 days abiding with God, you know, spend time with God, you know, right. Get his heart, you know, and if you know, if you need to abide with him, I mean, and it's very specific, you know, be very specific in how you abide with him. You know, if you need a plan, and most people want to, they just need a plan, go to iabide.org, and you'll instantly have access to a plan. Just request it, and everything you need, and spend time with God and find out what God's heart. Make this year different than any other year. Because first, you're going to abide with God about your choice of a leader. Secondly, get educated on the leader.
Right.
You get educated on the leader. And thirdly, you can't not fight a war without a gun, right? You can't fight a war without a gun. And you cannot vote unless you're registered to vote.
That's right.
You know, and many people gave their lives for us to have the right to vote. Mm-hmm. But we don't have
we can't vote. It's just, you know, so you can need to register to vote. And I talked about that, I believe, last week. But I just want to tell you this a little bit more, you know, some understandings about being registered to vote that, you know, 20 to 30% of all conservative groups, conservative groups in America,
right,
20 to 30% are not registered to vote.
Oh, wow.
20 to 30%. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
right.
Really, I don't think if you're not registered to vote, why are you even having an opinion about this?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can't. It's like you can't fight a war without a gun, and you cannot change or pick leaders that God lays on your heart unless you actually have you've been registered to vote. You can register, but you don't have to fight to go do it. You don't have. I mean, people had to go through a lot of things to vote in the past. You look at Iraq. You know, when they had their first vote, that they walked in with their fingerprint and they put it down. That was a huge thing. I mean, death, and a lot of our soldiers died to be able to give them the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and but 20 to 30% of all conservative groups are not 20 to 30% are not registered to vote.
Amazing,
isn't that something in America? And 14% of all Americans, of all the Americans, mm-hmm. there they are, mm-hmm. right? 14% of them believe that they're registered, but they're not. Right?
Really?
Yeah. That's 33 million people who could show up at the polls and totally determine where this country's going to go next.
Wow.
Yeah, we just, oh my goodness, wake us up, oh God, right? I mean, if the Christians would just spend time with God first, don't vote your pocketbook or your wallet.
Right.
But vote Jesus, you know, vote how God would want you to vote, and all your leaders, whoever they are, I'm not saying who they are,
mm-hmm.
and this whole nation would just go that direction.
All right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about this, that in the year 2000, we had a president then, his name was President Bush, George Bush, George W.
Mm-hmm.
He was the son
right.
of George.
Right.
And not the son of George Washington, but... Anyway, so Florida was like the clincher state. You know, they counted everything. Remember the hang-in Chad thing and all that kind of stuff.
Crazy.
And so they were counting the votes, you know, and it was between him and
Gore.
Oh, that's right. And Gore and Vice President Gore. And they were actually, it was very close.
Mm-hmm.
And when they've counted all the votes, it was 537 votes
wow.
that gave him Florida and they gave him the presidency. 537. Let's back up a little bit. Nope, let's go a little bit further. In 2008, President Obama, he wins, which is our president now, mm-hmm. he wins North Carolina by 13,692 votes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only 0.32% of North Carolina. Such a small margin
wow.
that are determining who's going to be our leader or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you think about Indiana. You know, President Obama won it by 26,163 votes. That's only 1% of the vote there.
Wow.
And this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that you need to register to vote. You're an American, whoever you are, whatever party you are. And you need to read... my mama was a, and my dad was a, therefore I am a, you know, and mm-hmm. you find out, well, your past three people, you know, didn't ever read what the platforms were. So just every political party has a platform. So just read it,
mm-hmm.
read the political platform, what they stand for. And they'll tell you how they stand on abortion. They'll tell you how they stand on civil rights, how they stand on economy. And they develop a whole platform about this is our vision for our party.
Right.
And so then you just pick whatever, you know, that's how you got to pick, because you got to pick something, you know,
mm-hmm.
or be an independent, I think, as it is. I don't know, they'll tell you. But if that small 537 votes determined a presidency, that means President Gore was 537 votes away from being the president.
Right.
537, that's like, you know, he could have been the president if more people, if 538 people would have voted.
That's right.
Isn't that wild? That's amazing how close it is. But what does that say about the 20 to 30% of all conservative organizations who are not even registered to vote? Mm-hmm. They're actually determined who is our leaders, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because if they would have registered to vote, all these 1%ers and these 2.32% and this 537 votes, that probably would have been more of a, you know, conservative viewpoint and value viewpoint winner, wouldn't it?
Right.
And then you think about that if 33 million people who think they are registered, you know, are not, then they determine who's going to be the next leader. Because these are the ones that will show up at the polls to vote, and they'll find out their name's not on the roster because they feel that they are, but they find out when the poll worker's there. The poll worker's looking at them. They're trying to probably save their face. Oh, sir, you know, you're not registered. Your name would be here if you're registered.
Right.
And so you can just do some simple things this morning. You know, I want to encourage you. You know, people have died and paid a huge price for you to be able to vote. And a ministry called Wall Builders that we talk about, wallbuilders.org, they totally have a whole website set up to be able to help us and whoever you are find out if you're registered. If you're part of the 33 million people who think you are, but if you got really questions, you really don't know if you are, then you can go to wallbuilders.com/vote, or just go to wallbuilders.com and click on Vote 2012. And the question it asks you is, are you registered to vote? You just put in your first and last name, your city, state, and zip, and you push a button called search, and it will let you know if you're registered or not. And if you're not registered, it will actually direct you immediately to a place that you can actually register to vote right there online. It just takes a couple moments. 33 million people could register to vote right now if you just go to wallbuilders.com. wallbuilders.com/vote, or just go to wallbuilders.com and find out, you know, just do it privately because you don't want anybody to know that you were telling them you were and you're not, right?
Right.
And if the 20-30% of all conservative organizations would go to wallbuilders.com/vote, you know, find out, you know, if you're not, go ahead and register. What does that mean? That means that these people that are going to register, whoever they are and whatever their persuasion is, will determine who's going to be the leaders, the school board, county commissioners, governors, presidents, senators, representatives, all the way across the land, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They'll actually determine it.
Right.
But after you register to vote, again, I go back to spend 90 days abiding with God, you know, get in rhythm with God's voice, you know, hang out with people that have your value system, get educated on the people that are running for office, and they have a right to answer. They have an obligation to answer your question because you're actually saying to them that I'm thinking about allowing you to be a leader of our school board, of our county commission, or of our city council, or our governor, or state congress, or senate, or, you know, all the way. You're allowing them, so you need to get educated on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they lie to you, you know, God will actually see that. But at least ask them. You know, don't be intimidated because, you know, I think God's really going to hold us accountable, you know, as American citizens, because we're the ones that choose our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just a product of what we've done or what we haven't done.
Right.
And so you can actually do that today. Wallbuilders.com. wallbuilders.com/vote. I think .org takes you there as well too, but just to let you know. So get active, you know. We want you to be activated. We want you to be praying, seeking God, and we're going to believe God that in the next 4 years after November, that God's going to give us mercy and grace, and across the whole country, we're going to have leaders who agree with our value system, who loves God, who agrees with the Constitution, and they agree to uphold the Constitution. You know, and I'm going to read you the pledge probably next week that all of our elected officials pledge, but it boils down to they promise to defend the United States Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic, which means there could be enemies in our country that are against our Constitution, which says all of our liberties come from God. You know, how could you deny where our liberties come from, right?
Right, exactly.
And the First Amendment allows us to have VFN radio, mm-hmm. you know, and allows us to have VFN TV. It allows us to be able to speak freely and to worship God ever how we feel led to be able to worship God, where Congress cannot make any laws concerning the church or religion, mm-hmm. you know, and the right to gather. You know, it's really important. People think we take that for granted, but just President Putin, mm-hmm. you know, over in Russia just yesterday or this last week, he made a law that you cannot legally gather anymore.
Wow.
It's against the law to assemble publicly, you know, and that's what the First Amendment says. The First Amendment says that we can worship God freely. Mm-hmm. We have the right to assemble. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Isn't that important?
Yeah.
And the next is what? We have the right to bear arms.
Right.
I mean, we lose the First and Second Amendment, it's going to be a different world, a totally different world. So I just want to encourage you this morning that go to wallbuilders.com, wallbuilders.com, and just check and see if you are registered or if you're not, and then go ahead and do it to it and get ready to determine who our next leader is going to be in our country. We'll be right back. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God.
Mm.
And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Well, this concludes the end of our first hour today. We're excited about coming to you in the extra hour, talking about 90 minutes in heaven. 90 minutes in heaven in our Nazareth. We'll be seeing you in just a moment.